if I'm in the water dredging and I've got gold and I can transfer that gold for cash and I can go spend that cash in my local grocery store or a local eatery to help them stay open through all of this or help them survive, then we're doing what we are supposed to do as a family and as a community. I loved what Vice President Pence said the other day when he was talking about the just the way people are coming together, the way people are helping each other. And he was talking about family, and he was talking about community and what, you know, everybody working together to help flatten this curve. There is another curve that's going on, and it's an economic curve. We can help in that as well. Don't need help. Let us exercise our rights. All right, man. You know what? We need to do a podcast.
Okay.
All right. I'm starting the music right now.
Searching for gold dust in the valley of bloodlust, under the sun misunderstood. I'm making my way down, this valley's a ghost town.
Welcome to the On the Gold Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Hoagland, joined today with my co-host, Mr. Kevin Bell. Mr. Bell, good morning. How are you doing today?
Pretty good, Kev. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Gold is over $1,700 an ounce this morning.
I love it.
Yeah, it's going to, you know, we know that it's going to fluctuate and go back, go up, go sure. down, bounce around. It'll stabilize sooner or later, but with everything else that's going on, you know, hey, ride the wave, look at it on a day-to-day basis and enjoy it. That's about the most news I'm looking at right now.
Right, and go mining and because go mining, it's $1,700 now.
Yeah, oh yeah, exactly. Well, and there was a long discussion yesterday about gold hitting $2,500 an ounce. And it was by some very well-known people in the industry that are on that fault, that they're economic, they're economists.
Right.
And they were talking about this, and they were talking about what the expectation was. So over the next few months, we may actually see $2,500 a month, which makes going out now and prospecting even more relevant.
Absolutely. You know, there's, like I said, you know, we move from uncertainty to the certainty of precious metals.
Always, always. It's just a cycle. When you start seeing the uncertainty in some areas, you start seeing precious metals go up, and it's just the bottom line. So take advantage of it. I don't know if take advantage of it is the right term, but. You
know. Well, I don't know. Buy low, sell high still works.
Yeah, buy low, sell high still works. So there you go. Or
mine at zero and sell high.
Exactly.
That's even
mine
better.
At almost zero. It does cost a little bit to get out there and go mining, but you know it's not like going out and buying an ounce of gold now and waiting for that ounce of gold to go up.
Mm-hmm.
So prospecting is still very, very relevant, and that is our subject of the day.
Yes.
I'm not sure about the title. Seems a little shaky, but. After you told me what you were doing and well actually you started out the call after you on what your Thursday mining with man, thank you for not prospecting. So
yes,
all yours, buddy. Thank you for all not right. prospecting.
Well, you know, we've been working this bar, as you well know, on our Thursday mining Thursday trips, and it's really getting to the point now where we've gone through, we're now kind of hitting some spots and taking the last bit of stuff out of there. And there was an area that somebody had gone in and worked and had thrown all of their tailings and thrown the big rocks off to one side. And the stuff they were mining was decent, but certainly not the regular gold that we get. And so I told Sean, hey, I'm going to go over there and see if I can, you know, take some material out where that person had put their tailings, see if that's any good. So took all the rocks, filled the guy's hole for him. Thank you very much. And took a test pan out, handed it to Sean. And I don't think he was in the water 2 minutes and he said, run it. It was some of the richest material that we had found on the bar. So the interesting thing is the person, without checking the material that he was running, threw his tailings on the best gold that we've seen in the bar. And we ended up over doubling the amount of gold we had in the sluice box with between a bucket and a half and two buckets. So we went from about a quarter of a gram to 3/4 of a gram, which was a bad day for us. But you know, when you're just cleaning up the last, you know, last bit of the bar, we still had a really good day, but it was because of that material.
So when you got into that, you had no expectation. I mean, this was just you doing some prospecting.
Yes. Yes. And you know, the thing about it is, you know, we've talked about this several times, you know, it always begins with that initial prospecting. You know, you've got to find the best gold when you're starting out. You've got to find the best gold. And as you're going through your area that you're working, you're constantly, as you've worked through a set of material and you're now going to start somewhere else, you have to go through that initial prospecting, that sampling or testing of the material to make sure that you're getting the best dollars per yard. It all breaks down to that.
And you know what, Kevin, that's a very valid point. Dollars per yard. And I think most of us think about it, and the way we always talk about it is, it's not about the gold, it's about finding the gold and so on like that. But I'll tell you what, if I go out and I'm on a day and I'm finding gold, but it's not a lot, it's still a good day, but it's not a great day. But if I'm on the gold and I am looking at it for trending and following this line and following that line and doing my prospecting, doing my testing, doing my sampling, which, again, you know, you separate into two categories, and I really want you to talk about how you separate that out, because most people just make that synonymous, as I think I've already said. But if I'm working and I'm prospecting and I'm doing that, I'm always going to look at things at dollar per yard.
Right. Right. And that's, you know, that's the most important part. You know, when you've, you know, we've got limited time in the field, and you know, the bottom line is the amount of gold we get while we're out there translates, you know, strictly to dollars. You know, if you've got, you're doing your testing and you're finding 3 or 4 flakes in your pan in some of the material, and then you find an area where you're getting 10, 12, 15, you start to go over there and then you sample that line, and you're actually going to find that within the first hour or two, you'll find really good gold. You'll actually be able to mark out the area where you're going to work. And overall, you're able, because you're more efficient now, you're able to run that material and actually get more gold with less material run.
Very true.
And that's the big key.
Yeah. And let's take that. And now let's take that into prospecting, because what you just said is, you follow the trend. You get on your trend. You get on your flow, whatever you want to call it. I've always called it trending.
Sure.
And so I'm going to prospect that trend. And generally when I'm out with somebody, we will take turns. Somebody's going to constantly be prospecting, following that trend, and finding the best place to prospect. And we said it in the Outside of 300 podcast. I don't want to run material just for the sake of material. I want to run the very best material. And the only way you're going to do that is by learning how to and then following those trends. And if you're new to prospecting, this is very, very important about how to do your testing, how to do your sampling, and follow that line, find that line and stay on it. And obviously, I mean, you guys have been doing that on the bar because you've taken really good material instead of just taking a whole lot of material.
Right.
And, you know, not to go back and use the entire podcast from the outside the 300, but there is a huge difference between working good high pay material and just working a lot of material. And it's not about how much material you can run in the box. It's about how much good material you can run in the box, which 9 out of 10 times is going to be a whole lot less than just running dirt.
Right. And you know, the interesting thing, as you become a more experienced prospector, you measure success on not just finding gold, is you find the best gold. And I think that's always the key for me, is I measure success by being able to recognize where the best gold is as quickly as I can. And you recognize not only the type of material it's in, but also the flow or the diversion or the disruption or whatever that caused that to be there. And again, running that trend, just like you say, that's the key to success for me.
Absolutely. And there has to come a point where you know where to quit when you're doing
that. Know when to quit.
Yeah, when to quit. And then following that, finding that next spot. But I've seen this happen so many times, and I've had it happen to me when I was really new into prospecting. I'd follow something, and then all of a sudden it would just kind of flow out. You know, I hate saying petered out. It was just kind of, it would become diminishing return. So a lot of times I would just pack up and go somewhere completely different, or I'd start prospecting somewhere else. And I learned a very valuable lesson for myself years and years and years ago while I was working in old desert Bajada with a dry washer. I was going along. I was in the trend, boom, 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 boom. And then the gold just ended. I mean, there was no rhyme or reason. I went from having really good gold to having nothing.
Yeah.
And I started looking at this area, and it was just, it was like a wall had come up. And I started thinking about it that way. And instead of just wandering around, I started looking at the ground, and I started looking at the mineralization on the ground. I started looking at what had happened or what I thought could have happened. And there was a shear zone. There was an absolute shear zone right below the surface. And I moved over 3 feet, did some testing and sampling there, started digging down, doing my testing or prospecting. Let's just call it prospecting. And I got back into really good gold, which was exactly the same gold. So everything just kind of shifted over.
Right. Right.
And a lot of people would miss that. And you know, if your gold ends like that, don't just panic and start looking for a brand new place somewhere else. Spend some time looking around what happened.
Right. I think, you know, and we've talked about this before, you know, when we're digging material, you know, you're in your good gold and you're in your good material, just put our head down and dig, you know, because we're saying, okay, I need to get this material moved and get it out to where I can get it processed. I always try to, as I'm digging material, I'm always looking around. And so I'm looking ahead of me just slightly, you know, like you said, 5-10 feet ahead of me, just kind of looking at things while I'm doing classifying or, you know, digging in the ditch. I'm looking around. Why? Because when you're at that level, when you're actually at the dirt level versus standing above it, you'll start to see that subtlety that you're talking about that you picked up. You know, you get to start to see those things and recognize, I'll bet you right up there that gold is going to start to peter out. And then when it does, it's no surprise.
Yeah. Visual prospecting is one of the greatest tools you've got. Visual prospecting before you start getting into material. When I walk into a new area, I'm visually prospecting it. I'm looking at the ground. I'm looking at all the different, I'm looking at that, at the way the rock is laying and different things like that. And if I see a spot that looks a little off or looks a little bit different, I'm going to, that's where I'm going to start my prospecting.
Yes. Yes, definitely. You know, and that's the thing that people need to, they really need to focus on creating that pattern of prospecting, you know, doing the same thing over and over, not exactly the same way, but having that basic kind of process that you go through every time you go out, right? Because you're going to encounter different materials that require different methods to extract it and test it. But to have that methodology down is key to being successful every time you go out.
It is. It's an absolute key. And this is one thing that I really work with brand new prospectors. Where do you think that the gold would be? I just ask them when we're out in the field, it's where do you think the gold would be? Just use your eyes and see and just visualize. Just look at it. Think about how the gold moves. Know that, you know, in Arizona, it takes a long time to move the gold. In California, it's a lot faster because of the, you know, especially when you're getting down towards the waterways and so on. You know, we move gold a couple of times a year just through the mm-hmm. monsoon seasons if we're talking about just the fluid, just the idea of water moving gold.
Right. Alluvial movement.
Right. An alluvial movement. So, you know, that's very, that's not real consistent, but in California, in the area where when you're prospecting or where you're prospecting, you've got a lot more movement, and it's, mm-hmm. I'm not going to say it's constant, but it moves a lot more. So when I ask somebody, take a look at the ground, see what you see. And if they see a spot, I hand them a shovel.
Right.
And they start digging on that spot and they do their testing. They'll start testing all the way down and until they figure out whether there's gold there or there's not gold there. And mm-hmm. that is a great tool to learn how to prospect. Go to where you
yes.
think it might be. You know, I think we've done a real disservice with people coming into prospecting and I say we, as in all of us that have been doing this for years and years and years, as we covered in the Rules of Thumb podcast, you know, there are certain things that people say are rules of thumb. Inside bend. You know, always go to the inside bend because that's where the gold is. That's where the gold slows down. But I think there's so much more to it than that. There is mm-hmm. a huge lesson to be learned in, yeah, go to the inside bend. Take a look at it, but if you're not getting gold, if you're brand new to prospecting, you're fairly green, and you start looking at that area and you think, okay, there should be gold here, and you start digging in, you're doing your sampling, you know, at 4 inches, 6 inches, 8 inches, 12, however deep you go, and you're not finding good gold, or if you're not finding gold, you need to stop and look around and find mm-hmm. out why that gold is not there. The rule of thumb is it's in the inside bin. Okay, I'm not finding gold in the inside bin. I know I'm on a gold-bearing creek. I know that I'm working a material that has been really well-known from the history and everything else of just great gold. Now I stand up mm-hmm. and I look around and I look up and, you know, 50 feet up the river or the stream, creek, whatever you want to call it, is this boulder. Not the size of a car, but the size of a semi. And now you have to start thinking about it and visualize this in your head. The water came down through here. The water was hitting through there. And it was flooding, flash flood in Arizona. And mm-hmm. it hit that, and it changed the dynamics. Just look at it and think about the way the water would flow and go to that spot. And that's where you start finding your gold.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that goes back to that, what we talked about, you know, about that visual prospecting, right? I mean, that's the key, is to look up and see if you're not finding gold, there's got to be more pieces of the puzzle. You know, sometimes there's two or three pieces. Sometimes there's 10.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
but yeah. You've got to figure them out.
Absolutely. And the idea of just running your life on rules of thumbs, like I said, I think we've done a disservice by all of us. by not taking that a little bit further. So today we're taking that a little bit further. In the desert areas, if you're looking in a desert area, if you're in southern, if you're anywhere in the Southwest, Southern California, Arizona, New Mexico, all the way through there, you can see those areas where the aridness, where you can tell that there's been movement. Look at those areas and then start looking at other areas and just, you know, find that spot. And then when you find that spot that has some good gold in it, start working your pattern out, because now we're going to start trending and doing those things. I think we'll cover that in a minute. But this is how you start your prospecting. In California, for you, it's a little bit different. I mean, you're on this beautiful bar, and you're starting to get diminishing return on your gold until you got into somebody else's spot. Now, when you go back out there, since you were running out of time, are you going to take that spot and start doing your testing and sampling and moving from that spot to see where that gold continues?
Oh, yes, absolutely. The nice thing about, you know, we stopped a little short, but it's interesting, just like you said, that rock causing a slight change in movement. When you actually are in that spot, and one thing I could see as I was testing and running material, or digging material, is I could actually see where the water was coming around. There's a outcropping of the bar where they had some buildup of material, sand and rock. And you can see that the water was going around it, and then it actually flowed back onto the bar. And you could physically see where that water had laid material down at about a 15 or 20 degree angle across the bar. And looking back, we knew that area was where we got our best gold, you know. And so we saw the trend going the other direction. We could see where it lay down, and that's how we worked it. But it wasn't until I was at the other end where the water actually came in, and I could see, looking backwards the other way, that we had been running a really great trend the whole time.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Isn't that great to where you find where it started?
Find the source.
Finding your source, and then looking back and just knowing that you and visually being able to see that. Isn't that great when you look back and you go, you know what? We were right. We started here. We found our best gold from testing and sampling. And we were we've been on the gold since the very beginning. And this is where the change happened. Now, you may go a little bit further, because you're talking what you just said about the source. And that may be the source. And you may be out of the gold after that. So, you know.
Yeah.
And that may happen. But now it's time to start doing your testing. And that testing is about staying in the trend. And when I'm out prospecting, you've got Sean that goes with you. I've got a buddy that goes with me. And when we're working that area, one of us is always prospecting. One of us may be prepping material, getting ready to run the material. But when that's happening, somebody else is always out sampling. And in sampling, it's, you know, they're, if I'm running a north-south trend, whoever is doing the sampling, whether it's me or my mining buddy, you know, we're working east to west across that to see where that material went. So if I'm following a north-south trend, and I'm just making up directions, it doesn't matter, you know, it's
sure.
So I'm going north and south. I'm prospecting at east and west. And so I come across my line. I've got this line, and I'm going to call that the center line. And I'm going to prospect that to the west of that line and to the east of that line, and find that the gold starts getting better going towards the east. So now it's a matter of taking that. All right, I've got better gold here. Took this hole at the west, dug it down 4 inches, 8 inches, 12 inches, 16 inches, whatever it was, got into the cobble. Looked at the cobble. The cobble doesn't look good. Went down below the cobble. Really nothing there. So moving over. Get into the eastern side. 4, 8, 10, 12, 20, you know, whatever. Getting down. Get into some really good gold. Match that up to the point where I'm at, where we're in the gold, and then start making some, you know, at that point, it'd be like northwest to southeast cuts and little tests. And then that you just make the turn. You just make the natural turn. So you're heading north and south, or you're heading north on a north-south line, and you start finding that gold that's over to the eastern side. So now you're turning northeast, and you're staying in that trend. And yes. It's about prospecting. It is about prospecting.
Right. And better yet, going back to what we said earlier, as you're digging through that trend, as you were going north and now you're going to go northeast, why did it turn? Finding out why it turned is just as important as knowing where it turned. You know, why did it make that change?
Yeah, if you don't know why it made that change, and if it's just, if you think it's an anomaly, it's not. There's a reason that it made a change. And is it something that you can see on the surface? Or as you're digging your sampling holes, your testing holes, is it something that you see as you start to dig down?
Mm-hmm.
And those are indicators. And a lot of times those indicators are very subtle, very, yes. very subtle. You may dig down 10. Let's just say everything is at 10 inches. So you dig down 10 inches and you've got some cobble material and you're looking at it. And that cobble doesn't have really any sand or anything else on it. You don't have that fine material. You don't have this or that. And then you go up a little bit further, and suddenly you do find a lot more sandy material. And that's where, you know, you're starting to get back in on this trend. And I'm just using mm-hmm. this as an example. You know, you get down to this layer, and you've got material that's starting to carry really good gold. Look around. If you see something on the surface, like where bedrock is lifted, if you're in a stream or if you're in the middle of the desert, you can look at these things.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't see it, then continue. But as you go, start looking around. Looking at the material that's in the ground is as important as looking on the surface and trying to see what happened.
Right. And, you know, we're a sensory animal. The more information you get, the better decisions you make. And it's not only, you know, I've talked about this before. You dig for today, but you also look to the future, right? In other words, when I come back, I need to be able to pick this up right where I left off. So you dig for today, but you sample and you trend for tomorrow, for the future. And that's key.
That is a major key. When I take the time and I've done research and I'm going out to an area and I'm prospecting it, I'm not looking at it as just a day trip. I'm looking at something that I'm going to continue to come back. Now, if I'm on vacation and I know I only have like 4 or 5 days or something like that, yeah, I'm gonna work to speed up that process. But I absolutely agree. When I'm working a spot, and if I'm out there with my buddy and one of us is always prospecting while another one's prepping material, then we swap off and somebody's running material, but we're constantly prospecting. We know what we're going to be able to do that day, but we also know when we come back out how we're going to follow that trend to have the maximum recovery and turn it back into dollars per yard.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you know what, I think we talked about dollars per yard and maybe made it a little bit light, but it really does boil down to looking at that at dollars per yard. And that
yes.
really helps people. I think that's another thing that we may have fallen short on over the years about talking about prospecting, about finding the gold is better than having the gold and different things. And when you know that you're in that trend and you're following that trend and you know that you're making X amount of dollars per yard, you're psychologically, you are more in tune with staying in that trend, working that trend harder and working mm-hmm. that trend smarter than just saying, you know what? It's really not about the gold. It's about finding the gold. Okay. Like yeah. I said earlier, I can go out and find some gold and have a good day. I can go out and find a lot more gold and have a really great day.
Right. And that becomes target versus trend, right?
Absolutely.
I don't think of going to a stream and digging behind a boulder. Am I going to find gold in the boulder, behind the boulder? Odds are you're going to find something. What I'm looking for is a larger area where I can get a good amount of gold, but I get gold for today and gold for tomorrow too. So I don't look for a target. I look for a trend.
Yes.
Because I want to be able to go there multiple times.
Right.
Because it's about dollars per yard.
Mm-hmm. And I like it when somebody asked me once, you know, do you dig behind the boulders? Well, no. I know I'm going to find 9 out of 10 times, yeah, I'm going to find gold behind the boulder because that's where it slowed down. And then, you know, you can look in the water and if it's a dry wash, you can look and see how that material laid out. Maybe it's not behind the boulder. Maybe it's a little bit further behind the boulder, depending upon how the water flow was. But when somebody asks me if I do that, I think I'm more likely to give the answer, no, I'm going to figure out where the water or the gold is that came to the boulder.
Yes.
I'm going to find that trend that brought that gold to that spot that allowed that material to be deposited behind the boulder. That's what I'm looking for. I want to know how it got there. I want to find that spot on how it got to that spot.
Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing that I look to too, when I'm prospecting, is not only how much gold is there, but the size of the gold, because, you know, as you're going through the bar and you're seeing how the material laid down, obviously the heaviest gold is going to drop first. And then the lighter gold, you know, it starts to disperse. You'll get always a mixture, but it tends to be light, you know, finer at the end. You still are looking at dollars per yard. And so what you still, even though you tend to look for larger gold, you're looking for still the most gold in the pan. And I think people get hung up on, when they're trying to go back to the source, they always look for the biggest gold. Because, you got to find the biggest gold. Yeah, that's important to find out where that source is, but it may not necessarily be the best gold that you should run. You run where the most dollars per yard is.
Right.
Not the biggest gold.
Right.
Or not necessarily the biggest gold.
Sure. Because sooner or later you're going to get into that because it did drop out. If I'm chasing a trend that's going up towards a source, my bigger pieces have dropped out. It's harder to move that bigger piece of material, that bigger piece of gold down, but that finer gold is going to continue to move. And you know, quite frankly, at the end of the day, I look at it, a one ounce vial of 200 mesh gold is the same as the value of a 1 ounce vial of 12 mesh gold.
Yes.
So I'm going to continue to go that and follow that. Now, the topic of this was, thank you for not prospecting. And I'm trying to think, really, now looking back at this, have we really covered that and helped people understand what they should be looking for and how they need to look for it?
I think so. I think, you know, we've got some, you know, we've made some valid, you know, or some points that people need to use, you know, kind of some highlights. And I think that as they begin to use those, you know, they have to apply it to where they're working, whether it's the desert or it's in California or Colorado. But the basics are the same.
Hey, Kevin, so what do you think are your most important takeaways that you want people to know at the end of this podcast?
Well, I got to tell you, the biggest thing for me, come up with a prospecting methodology. That's number one. Do the same method. You have to apply it differently based on the material, but set yourself up a method. And that's the big thing for me personally.
When you say method, it's about being repetitive. You're doing the same thing.
Right.
You're prospecting properly. You're doing the same thing. I find the spot. I work in a circle. I work out in a spiral. That's something I've been doing for years and years and years. but it's because it's a repetitive action. It's the same thing that I do every time. And I think when you're saying methodology, that's what you're saying, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. Exactly. I got to say number two, and we kind of ran at it from different parts throughout this whole podcast, but visual prospecting, you know, watch your indicators, you know, start to see the trend. Why is it that way? And again, what we talked about, dig for today and think about tomorrow. So visual prospecting, that's a huge key.
Agreed. Visual prospecting is one of the greatest tools that you have. And I'm going to add to your takeaway, because I think it's a great one, because it is a major tool. But don't look at just the surface. When you start digging your holes and you're doing your testing and you're doing your sampling, look at what you see under the ground as well, and look for where conditions change. Because the keys that you see on the surface are one thing, and the keys that you see below the ground are another thing, but they all work in conjunction with each other.
Yes. Yes. That perfectly said. Perfectly said. I guess another one of my big takeaways is verifying the pay as you work. So, you know, we spend a lot of time testing and sampling to find the best gold, the dollars per yard. And I think a lot where I see many people begin to fail is, again, head down, dig. You know, I found some good gold, so I'm going to just dig. And they don't verify the pay as they work. So like you said earlier, you slip out of the trend. The trend changed and you're digging in the same direction you were. And because you didn't verify, you didn't know that there was a change.
So now you're running material over running good material.
Right.
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 Hey, you know, at the very beginning of this, I said something, I mentioned it a couple of times about you have testing and sampling to you are two completely different things. And I know we're in the takeaways, but I want you to share very quickly what testing and sampling is to you.
Well, for me personally, testing is what you do in initial prospecting. Again, you're testing the trends, you're testing stuff within the trends. And again, as you say, when you see indicators, you're testing those indicators to see where that gold is. Sampling to me is verifying pay as I work it. So that's the difference for me. I think a lot of people may use those terms synonymously.
Of course.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
So you can call it verifying versus sampling. So big, you know, that's the difference for me personally.
Okay. And I appreciate that. I appreciate you sharing that, because that I did ask, or I did say at the very beginning, I wanted you to explain that. And unfortunately it's at the takeaways as we're leaving, but that actually works as a takeaway. Understand the difference between testing and understanding the difference between sampling. If you want to use them synonymously, that's fine. But realize that testing is your prospecting. Sampling is verifying your material as you're moving on. Okay, what's another takeaway?
I think the biggest one, and I think we've hit this several times, know when to quit. The biggest thing for me, because I'm verifying, and like you said, I'm sampling or I'm verifying that material, as it starts to peter out, you know, I establish a minimum for myself, a minimum amount of gold that I expect in the material. And when it gets below that, I quit. I go find somewhere else in that bar, go back to prospecting, find, did the trend move? Find the trend again. If it just petered out and the trend kind of petered out, go prospecting again. Find the better dollars per yard.
Right. Absolutely. That is a huge tool. And that's a great takeaway. And I'm going to expand on that one a little bit. As you're working your material and as you're moving on that trend and you're following that trend, and you know, I've got 50 feet of the trend already worked out. I know where the next 50 feet is. if I'm out there with my prospecting partner, I will assure you that we are looking for that next spot.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get out of the gold, when it finally diminishes to the point where the return is simply not viable enough, that we've already got the next spot ready to go.
Yes. That's key. Like you said, dig for today, think for tomorrow.
Right. Right.
You know, and that's as you start to go through this process of becoming a better prospector, and you know, we keep hitting this point frequently. As you become a better prospector, you become a better miner, but you also become a more successful miner. That precision mining, working the right material, not just material, you'll get more gold, less effort, more time of your limited time in the field is spent getting the best material, the best gold, I should say.
I like the way you said that, becoming a better miner. Because I know a lot of people that are phenomenally great at running their equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got it down pat. They know exactly how to run that equipment, but they're still not putting the very best material through that equipment.
Right.
So
right.
That all ties in. That all ties in. Man, those are some great takeaways.
Yeah. And those, for me, those are the most important. And they're really simple. They're not really heavy or deep points to contemplate. They're very simple points that you can take away from this podcast and use tomorrow with a minimum effort.
Sure. Sure.
And you're going to find better gold.
And that's what it's about, finding better gold. Kevin, I think your takeaways were absolutely fantastic. And there's not a lot else to say on this. You know, we called it Thank You for Not Prospecting, but it really is about how to prospect and how to become successful in prospecting and getting out of that box. And as you said so aptly, don't look at the ground right in front of you. Always look around. Use your visual prospecting skills. Hone your visual prospecting skills. Look at the material that you're running at a dollar per yard value. Always look at it from that, and then know how to do your testing, how to do your sampling, and continue to prospect and verify what you're working in, and always have that next spot laid out.
Dig today, look for tomorrow.
Yeah, sure. Dig today and look for tomorrow. I like that. We're gonna have to. That's a t-shirt, dude. That's a t-shirt.
I like it.
So if you didn't catch everything, make sure to go back through, listen to it a couple of times. I'm not going to put timeline markers in it or anything else like that, but listen to this a few times, because everything that was said today will help you become a better prospector. So thank you for not prospecting. Yeah, kind of a hard attitude to take for a guy that missed a spot, that walked away from good gold. So thank you to him for not prospecting, which allowed us to come in today and do a podcast on hopefully helping you become a better prospector. Now, on the next episode of On the Gold, it's something that I've wanted to work on over the last couple of weeks, because I had a prospector call me and say, look, you know, I'm not very successful in what I'm doing right now. And the areas that I'm looking in, everybody tells me to go to the red dirt. Go look at the red dirt. I'm working a placer area. I'm getting into this red dirt, and I'm fairly new to this, and I'm not really getting gold, but I know there's gold in the area. So the next podcast is talking about these desert areas and why the idea of always chasing red is not the greatest idea. Until then, be good to yourself, be good to each other, and go out and go prospecting. Kevin, anything else?
No, we're good.